how we are born of God. We talked about how, I told you how in John 3:6, how the Lord brought out his big highlighter and highlighted that to me. And John 3:6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so, you know, the Lord was highlighting that to me because he wants me to understand that we're spirits, right? And he wanted me to explore that a little more. And also we talked about how in 1 John 5:1, it says, whoever is born of Christ is born of God. And we know from Romans 4:24 that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So therefore, if we're born of him, we're spirit beings also. And that's how we're able to worship him in spirit and truth, because we're actually spirit beings. And these are the people that he's looking for, the born again ones, the ones born of the spirit to worship him in spirit and in truth. And also, I wanted to read, I didn't have this one last week, but I wanted to read Romans 8:6-9. And it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be, so that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh cannot worship him in spirit and truth. They can't do it because they're in the flesh. They're not born again. They've not been born of God. But then he goes on and said, but you are not in the flesh, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So you are not in the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but you're no longer in the flesh. Why? Because you have been born again. Amen. You have been reborn and refathered back to God. So now you are actually a spirit being alive unto God. And so why do I want to keep harping on that? I want to keep talking about it, because the more you hear it, the more you think about it. And then the more you think about it, the more you'll meditate on it. And then the more you meditate on it, the more you'll start to believe it. And then the more you believe it, the more you'll live from that place. That's why I keep talking about it. That's why I'm going to continue to talk about it. It's going to be one of the things in the forefront of my mind, is that we are actually spirit beings. Because think about it. Your whole life right now is a product of everything you've ever believed. Not what you think, it's what you've believed. You're sitting here now because of what you believe. You have the job you have because of what you believe. Now, there are circumstances that happen to us. You know, I get it. That has nothing to do with what you believe. That's just this fallen world we're in. But even in that, you respond according to how you believe. So your whole life is a product of what you believe. So if we continue to think of ourselves as spiritual beings, and we really start believing it, we'll start acting from that place. We'll start acting like we're up there and not just down here. Amen? Amen. So as I go into this, I just want us to kind of just keep that in the forefront of your mind as I talk about this other spiritual reality, which is the two laws that are operating in this world right now, which is the law of sin and death and the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So, where are we? Where am I? Yes. Romans 1:2. I'm going to start with Romans 8:1-2. Now, that reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Why? Why is there no condemnation to those? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Paul says, has made me free from the law of sin and death. And so Paul says, he said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. So he's talking personally right here. He said, has made me free from the law of sin and death. So then you say, well, what happened? What made him think? What is this freedom that he's talking about? What happened to him that's making him say this? And in order to get that answer, you have to go back to Romans 7. So in Romans 7, I'm just going to recap from 13 to 20. I didn't give that to you guys. But in Romans 7, Paul talks about how the law is holy and it's good. He said the law is holy, it's good, but it's being carried out by somebody that's carnal. That's what he says. And he goes on to say, he said, I didn't even know what sin was until the law came. He said he didn't even know what covetousness was until the law came. And why is that? It's because the law gives sin its strength, right? The strength of sin is the law. So Paul is saying, he's like, I didn't even know. What he said was, I was actually dead. I was alive until the law came, and then I died. That's what he said. He said, I was alive until the law came, and then the law comes in, and then I die. Why? Because all of a sudden now sin appears to be sin, right? It's getting strength. He's starting to have this guilt and this condemnation come on him. Why? Because of the law. Because again, the law gets sin its strength. So he goes on to say, I serve God with my mind, but I find this law operating in my members. And he says, and then he says, he concludes, he says, I find that if he does the thing that he doesn't want to do, that it's not him that's doing it. He said it's the evil or it's the sin that's in his members that's causing him to do it. So then I want to jump down to Romans 7, 21 through 25. So I'm going to pick it up from there, the scriptures from there. And it says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, or the law of sin and death, which is in my members. You see, the flesh is operating under the law of sin and death. So Paul said, no matter what I do, he said, I try to serve God with my mind, but there's this other thing that's actually going on in my members, in my flesh, that's keeping me from serving God with the law of my mind. And when you think about it, the law of sin and death, right, it's in the world. It was actually here. It's actually always been here. It wasn't here from the beginning, right? The law of sin and death was ushered in with Adam and Eve. But the law of sin and death is in operation right now. And so people who are not born again, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they try to do the right thing, they're not going to be able to do it, because all they're going to end up doing is condemning themselves. It says, and we as Gentiles, we didn't have the law of Moses, right? But Romans tells us that we have actually become a law unto ourselves, either accusing or excusing ourselves. So in the same vein, we either condemn ourselves or present ourselves guilty before God, because that's what the law does. It gives sin its strength. And so Paul goes on to say, okay, so I'm fighting this battle, right? In my mind, I'm trying to serve the law of God, and with my flesh, the law of sin is just operating. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself sort of serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So now he goes on and says, so now that Jesus has come, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So he's saying now that's where the freedom is coming from. Because now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So the flesh can't condemn him. It can't make him guilty before God anymore. Why? Because Jesus has come and he's been set free. But before we move on, every time I read this scripture, I just have to say this. I have to say this about verse 1. It says, therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That scripture right there, I have to explain it, because that scripture used to trip me up a whole lot. Here's what that thing is not saying. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, if you don't walk after the Spirit, but according to the flesh. I like to read it like this. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are a people who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And why I like to read it like that is because it's in harmony with Romans 8, 3 through 9. Watch this. In Romans 8, 3 through 9, it says, For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. that the righteous requirements of the law might be filled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, Paul is always lifting us up. He's always lifting us up. So what he says, what he's saying, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, he's saying we're actually a people who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that's in line with what he just said in verse 4, that the righteous requirements of the law might be filled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be, so that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We just read that earlier. 9, but again, you are not in the flesh, if indeed the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So we are not a people who, he doesn't see us or refer to us as a people who walk according to the flesh. That's not how he sees us. He even says, I think it's in 2 Corinthians 5, he says he knows no man anymore according to the flesh. He said we used to know Jesus according to the flesh. We don't even know him that way anymore. Paul is always looking at who you really are. And so when he says that, he's not saying if you don't walk according to the flesh, that there's no condemnation. He's saying you are a people who do not. We are a people who do not walk according to the flesh, but a people who walk according to the Spirit. And then one more scripture there where he says in Romans 7:5, he says, for when we were in the flesh, see, Paul is always, he's always looking at us in the Spirit. He always making that contrast. He said, when we were in the flesh, which means now we are not. He does not consider us that way. He said, when you were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in your members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were once held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So, again, why is that important? How you think about yourself and how you see yourself is always going to be very important in this life, because this world is always going to come up, it's going to come behind you, and it's going to always say the opposite of what God is saying about you. Yeah. It's always going to do that. So you have to be able to see yourself for who you really are, because this world will not reinforce it. You're going to have to do it yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right, now, on to those two laws. Now, there's a law in the natural called the law of aerodynamics, right? I love this analogy when it comes to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, right? And that law has always been present even before planes flew. The law was here, right? Because what? God created all laws. He created the law of aerodynamics. He created the law of gravity. He created Newton's law, the law of motion, right? God created all that, and he put that in the earth for us. And we know that the law of aerodynamics was created through science, right? We know it through science, not created through science. We know it through science, and we know the law of gravity and all those others, Isaac Newton's and all those laws, we know them through science. But the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life, we know through the Word of God. Now, so think about this with me. So we know that when a plane is taking off, right, it's going down a runway, and it's building momentum, right, to take off, right? But we also know at the same time, while that plane is going down the runway and it's building that momentum so it can lift, the law of gravity is around that plane trying to keep it down on the earth, right? The law is around it. It's trying to pull it down. It's trying to keep it on the earth, and that plane is taking off. And then what happens? A law greater than that takes over. And the plane takes off and it lifts off. It's a law, and that's the law of aerodynamics. That law is greater than the law of gravity. It overcomes the law of gravity. And when you think about that, if you think about that, that's the same. You can use that analogy with Paul in Romans 7:22-23 when he starts talking about his struggles. He says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. He said, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So think about that. So here you have Paul. He's trying to do the right thing. There's the law of God, and then there's the law of sin and death. So the law of God is trying to pull him up, but the law of sin and death is trying to keep him in this realm, confined to this world with sickness, disease, poverty, spiritual death, or any other thing you could think of that's negative. It's trying to keep him down. The law of God is trying to raise him up. But we find that the law of God was weak through the flesh. That's why Jesus had to come, right? In Romans 8:3, it tells us that the law was weak through the flesh, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, he had to send his son Jesus, right? So we find that the law was weak. And the law, though it's good, right? The law is good, it's holy, was no match for the flesh. It didn't have the power to make us righteous. In fact, all the law did was incite the flesh to be more sinful. And so, and the very thing that we were trying to use to make us righteous was the very thing that was giving sin its strength and making us more sinful. So the law of sin and death was, now think about this, the law of sin and death was in the world, was in operation from Adam to Moses. In fact, I have that, let me see here. I did it again. Romans 5, 12 through 13. Who got a Bible? Give me a Bible. Give me a Bible real quick. Romans 5, 12 and 13. Yes. I did it again. I got a scripture down here and I didn't put the words down here. But Amy's got a... Yes, Romans 5, 12 through 13. Because I want to talk about how the law of sin and death was in operation in the world before the law. Yes. So... therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. I think it was more than that. Go to the next one, 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. That's it. Thank you. Thanks, Amy. So what we see is that the law of sin and death was reigning from Adam to Moses, right? But it wasn't like people weren't dying or anything, right? They were, but there was no condemnation. See, the condemnation didn't come until the law came. But the law of sin and death was there. And when you think about it, we are born under the law. We are born into the law of sin and death, right? That's how we're born. We're born into the law of sin and death, and we do not have the power to free ourselves. We can. There has to be a law greater than that that's going to set us free. So Paul says in verse 25 that the answer to overcoming the law of sin and death is in Christ. Christ ushered in the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Romans 8:10 through 14, it reads like this. It says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, right? The law of sin and death, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit who raised him from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through or because of his spirit who dwells in you. So what we see here is an application of the law of the spirit of life overcoming the law of sin and death. Because the body is dead because of sin. That's the law of sin and death in operation. But Jesus came to give you life. So that's the law of the spirit of life. And he says that spirit of life, Jesus who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body because of the spirit that dwells in you. So the law of sin and death being overcome by the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And he says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Why? Because that's where the law of sin and death is operating. It's operating in the flesh. So if you live according to the flesh, you will die. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to keel over and die. But what it does mean is that it's going to bring death into your life. It's going to bring death to your finance. It might be in your finance. It might be in your health. It might be in your relationships. But you could bet that if the law of death is reigning in any area of your life, it's going to bring some form of death. It's going to happen. He says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Why? That's where the law of sin and death operates, or where it reigns. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Right? Why? Because that's where the law of the Spirit of life operates. If you put by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, then you're walking in the Spirit and you're walking under the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. He says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So then you say, well, how do you put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit? How is that done? How do I walk in this Spirit of life? Because that's what it is. It's the law of Spirit of life that would be operating. She said, well, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Romans 6. I love me some Romans 6. I just love me some Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 5. I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Verse 11, likewise, all right, likewise, what does likewise mean? Just like Jesus died to sin and now is alive to God, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, you got to reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive unto God. Because see, this is how the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, this is how you operated it. You have to reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. So why do you have to even reckon yourself to be dead to sin? What does that mean? You have to reckon it to be true because everything in this world is going to tell you again that it's not. See, everything in the kingdom of God, every the way you live this life has to be done intentional. It has to be, because you're going to go out into a world that will suck the life of God out of you if it can. Because everything out there is opposed to it. Everything, right? You think about it. When I was going over this, I was thinking, I used this analogy. Imagine if I was trying to be a man. I would have to reckon myself to, I would have to do some real considering. I would have to reckon myself to for that to be true. I have to reckon it to be true. Why? Because everything out there is going to tell me that I'm not. Okay, maybe not so much these days, but you know what I mean. Right? Everything out there is going to tell me that I'm not a man. I'm going to look in the mirror. I'm going to see a woman. I'm going to see woman features, body parts. I'm going to see a female. I'm going to go out into the world. I'll try to use the man's bathroom. What's going to happen? They're going to say, no, you can't come in here. You're a girl. Right? I'll try to come in church and try to act like a man. Y'all going to be like, oh, no, we're not having that in here. You're a female. Right? If I want to try to be a man, I'm going to have to reckon that to be true. That means, how do I reckon it? I'm going to have to do things that'll reinforce it, because, again, the world is going to reinforce that I'm a female. So I'm going to have to do things that's going to reinforce that I'm a man. So I'll probably have to start dressing like a man, studying how a man moves, his stature, how he moves, how he talks, and wear male clothes. I would have to really be intentional about being a man, because this world is going to tell me I'm not. So likewise, you're going to have to reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. And so why do you have to reckon it to be true? Because everything in this world is going to say it's not. Everything in this world will tell you it's not. And now, because you reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God, therefore, You do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin cannot have dominion over you. The law has been removed. You have died to it. Now you have the power to resist. That's why you have to reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God, because that is where your power comes from to resist it. It comes from the truth. Because when you reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God, it's not that it's not true. It is true. But the problem is that this world will tell you it's not true. It'll tell you in every way, your job, people that you know, your family members, everybody will try and reinforce the old you. And will try and reinforce the fact that you are still alive to sin. Very much alive. Right? So remember, sin is not gonna have it will not have dominion over you, because sin gets its power from the law. But it just said you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. So sin has been stripped of its power. You now have the authority and the ability to resist it. So in 15, Paul says, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace?" And here we go again. Anytime you preach grace, if you preach it correctly, that question is going to come up. Right? People are always trying to see how close they could get to the flame without being burned. But people will ask this question, look, I'm just going to say this. If you're trying to figure out how much sin you could get away with and still be saved, you might want to get saved again. So I'll just leave that right there. And 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? And whether it's sin, lead it to death, or obedience, lead it to righteousness. See, there's these two laws again. The law of sin and death, and the law of righteousness, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If you give yourself over to sin, he's not telling you that if you're sin again, you're not saved. He's saying if you give yourself over to sin, if you give yourself over again and put yourself back under the law of sin and death for which you've been delivered, you're going to become a slave to it. You're going to become a slave to it. He's saying now you have the ability to resist that and come under the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which was not an option to you before. But now it is. Now it is. He goes on to say, but thank be God that though you were slaves of sin, you were operating under the law of sin and death, yet you obey from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, the gospel. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. He said, look, I'm going to have to talk to you in plain English, in human terms, because I want you to understand this and get this. He says, I speak to you in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. He's saying, now you have a choice. He said, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in the regard of righteousness. See, when you were slaves of sin, when you were under the law of sin and death, that's where we're all born. Again, we're all born under the law of sin and death. When you were there, you were free from righteousness. Why? Because you had to be born again to even walk in righteousness. You didn't have the ability to walk there. You were free from that law. You only had the law of sin and death. That's all you had. And he says, and when you were there, what fruit did you get from it? Right? What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, having been set free from the law of sin and death, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you now have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So he's telling you, you have these two laws here now for you, the law of sin and death and the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, before that, all you had was the law of sin and death. That was it. You really had no choice. And in order to loose the grip, for the grip of the law of Sinadeth to be loosed from you, a law greater than that had to come. And it was the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If you think about this, think about, I'll go back to the law of aerodynamics. The law of aerodynamics on a plane is not automatically operating. You could go sit inside a plane, and the plane could be sitting on a runway, and the law of aerodynamics will not take place until somebody does something. Somebody has to do something. Somebody has to actually fly the plane. So just because you're sitting in it doesn't mean, and the law of aerodynamics is there and ready to be used and it's readily operated. It's always been there. It's never not been there. It was there even before planes existed. It's not going to do you any good unless somebody flies the plane. Just because you're in Christ Jesus does not mean the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that you're going to experience it. It does not mean that. It's not an automatic thing. You have to believe it, and you have to walk in it purposely. It's there. It's there for you. It's sitting right there. But you have to choose it. You have to actually choose it. It's just not automatic, although it is there. You have to choose it. That's why Paul is saying, you have to reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. You have to actually be intentional and make an intentional choice to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And the power comes from you reckoning yourself to be dead to this world, to the things of this world. And so I got off track. The flesh came to me. Okay. So you think about this, the flesh can still be very much alive with its passions and its desires and operating under the law of sin and death. It can happen. It can. Many of us probably already know, you might have been there today. You probably could have been there an hour probably this morning before you even got to church, right? You know, but thank be to God. Thank you, Jesus, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation there. We are exhorted to be those who walk according to the Spirit, according to the Spirit, and by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh. It's not like you can't walk there. You can. But Paul is saying you don't have to. That's why he exhorts us to put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit and walk according to the Spirit. Romans 6:6 tells us, it tells us about the crucifixion, right? We were crucified with Christ, and that we're to recognize ourselves to be dead. Just like I said, you have to see yourself as dead. And this is walking in the Spirit of the law of Christ. And again, when you walk according to the Spirit of law of Christ in Christ Jesus, the law of life is in operation. And it's quickening your mortal body. It's bringing it to life. And it's putting death the deeds of the flesh. But if you walk according to the flesh, then the law of sin and death is in operation. And you could be operating in either one of those at any point in time. If you're carnally minded, you will be under the law of sin and death, which brings sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, and spiritual death. But if you're spiritually minded, life and peace, and you walk under the Spirit of life, which includes fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, life, peace, wholeness, health, joy, righteousness, holiness, abundance, prosperity, love. I could just go on and on. But again, you could be a believer and still participate in the law of sin and death. But you can't be a sinner and participate under the law of the Spirit of life. For that, you must be born again. You got to be born of the Spirit. And if you happen to be a believer, right? If you happen to be a believer that's operating under the law of sin and death, don't confuse that with your identity. That's not who you are. And I'm going to close with this. It says, I want you to, if you happen to find yourself there, remember this exhortation from Paul, Romans 8:9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's telling you, Paul, the whole time in all these scriptures, he's telling us that there's two laws. They are in operation right now, and you now have a choice of where you want to walk. You could either choose life or you could choose death. You could choose the law of the sin and death, or you could choose the law of the spirit of life. You were free from the law of the spirit of life before you got born again. Once you were born again, this became an option. Now you can make a choice. You are not of the flesh. You are spirit beings. You have been born of God. And I just want to encourage you and just to keep that in the forefront of your mind, that you are spiritual beings born of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but you have been born again, and you have been born of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Father, I just come before you, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that I was able to bring the message that you wanted me to bring, Father, and that everybody was able to receive it, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are good, you are holy, you are awesome. We thank you, Lord, for us being born again. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us who we are. We are spirit beings. We are spirit beings. That is who we are. We are no longer of the flesh. We are not to even see ourselves after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Father, I pray for everyone here, God, that they just continue to be reminded of who they are and that we continue to walk according to how we've been called to walk. As spiritual beings. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yep, I think that's it.